What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. What's up, you guys, and welcome to the 10th episode of the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete, aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's crazy, really, that this is the 10th episode. I feel like as I'm doing these, it gets more comfortable to speak in front of a camera with no audience, but it's definitely never easy. So again, if you're an avid listener or if you're first time, please know that it's greatly appreciated. If you are a frequent listener to the Curls and Courage podcast, you probably listened to last week's episode titled Resilience Through Adversity, the story of my worst day in Miami, Florida. So have you guys ever had a day that just, it really sucked? Or maybe you thought at the end of the night, man, that day was bad. Well, that's exactly how I felt early October after just a couple months after moving to the big city. In short, this episode was all about an unforgettable series of unfortunate events that happened to me during my first few months living in Miami, Florida. These happenings resulted in me getting my car towed, wrecked, and losing over $2,000 in just 3 hours. I mean, talk about a bad day. Although this day could have been seen as a major loss, I chose to stay optimistic throughout the entire process and actually learned some very valuable life lessons from these series of unfortunate events. If you did miss this episode, be sure to check it out if you'd like to laugh and if you struggle with just staying positive when life throws obstacles right in your face. So this episode really got me thinking about lessons. A lesson is described as a period of learning or teaching. Can you think of a person, event, or maybe even situation in your life that was difficult at the time but ended up teaching you a valuable lesson? At that moment, you probably said to yourself a few phrases. Maybe it was, I can't believe this is happening. This is so hard. I don't think I can do this. Why me? Believe me, I know and I have definitely been there and found myself through this thought pattern plenty of times. This is what podcast number 10, this episode is all about. For those of you who don't know, I'm an NPC bikini competitor and bodybuilding is a huge part of my life. But let me tell you, it sure has taught me and continues to teach me many valuable lessons. If you want to learn more about my story as a competitor, as well as gain insight on 3 lessons and skills that you can learn and apply to your life daily, be sure to grab a pen and a piece of paper and listen closely from start to finish of this episode. I am thrilled to share 3 valuable lessons that I have learned over the past few years to improve my skill set and honestly transform my life for the better. I can say with confidence that these 3 key ideas have the power to change your life and improve your mindset drastically. So before we jump into those 3 concepts, I want to give you guys some exciting news, something that I am very, very excited about. So as mentioned earlier, I am a bikini competitor and I just decided that I'm going to start a competition prep for my next show in July of this year. So I'm about, I want to say like 13 weeks out by the time you're listening to this episode. I just had a really good meeting with my coach yesterday. I'm actually back home in Alabama visiting my family for the weekend, for Easter weekend. So happy Easter to you guys. I'm super excited to be back home. I miss the fam so, so much, but wanted to share that news with you guys because that was how I decided to do this episode on bodybuilding and on life lessons. So what made me jump into prep after taking 7 months off? Well, after my last competition prep, I struggled with a lot of hormone problems and imbalances. I was also just in a really negative headspace. I wasn't feeling much passion. I was feeling super defeated. My mental health was not in a very good spot. I wasn't in a very good spot just in my personal life as well. And I feel like competing, if I have any advice to you guys, if you are wanting to jump into a competition prep, this stage will always be there. This isn't to say challenge yourself, you know, don't get on stage, but it's to tell you that if you have certain things that are not aligning right, maybe this is spiritually, maybe this is mentally, maybe it's, you know, relationships. If those things are not all together, your prep is not going to be fun and it's going to be 10 times worse. And that's what I've learned. So right now I'm in a lot better headspace. I feel like I put on a great amount of muscle in my glutes and my shoulders. And that was the feedback that I had gotten from the head judge at my last show. So I took about 7 months off to grow. Prior to that, I took a whole year off. So I feel like I've really learned the practice of patience and really given myself enough time at this point to, you know, grow physically. Like I said, we want that booty looking bigger. We need the shoulders popping. Yes. But I mean, grow mentally as well. I think I've gotten a lot stronger. I've built that mental resilience. I've learned how to balance my work life and my relationships a little bit better. And I've learned how to be able to come see my family more, which I know helps me out. So I just encourage you guys on a side note, if you are living away from your family and you can have the flexibility within your work and the finances to come see them, please do, because they miss you and you miss them too. And family is a huge value of mine. And I definitely see the importance of that now after living in Miami for almost 2 years. So listen, I want you guys to actually do me a favor. I am so used to holding people accountable, but I need you guys to hold me accountable. I need you to hold me accountable for this new mentality of working hard but enjoying the process of my competition prep, keeping my emotional and mental state strong and steadfast, choosing to see pressure as an opportunity, and feeling satisfied knowing I'm doing my best daily, although I'm unsure of what the outcome and the result will be. In my past shows, one of the things I've struggled with is, I guess, not really enjoying the process as much, because truthfully, like, I choose to do this with bodybuilding, and the higher you get at the sport, again, I'm still at the amateur level, but I'm much better than I was when I first started, the pressure does get a little bit higher, and you do have certain things that you want to do. You know, one of my big aspirations is to turn pro, and it's good to put pressure on yourself, but you have to learn to see that perspective of, you know, having so much pressure as an advantage and as an opportunity, and learn from that. So I want you guys to keep me accountable, to make sure I'm staying mentally strong, and that I'm listening to my body, listening to my mind throughout this prep, and, you know, seeing it as a process to enjoy. And I know for me, I work my ass off. I know I'm going to give 100% to this prep. I don't know what the result will be. Of course, I want to place higher. I want to, you know, look my best. I always shoot for that pro card, but we don't know what's going to happen. So as long as I'm giving my best, I need you guys to tell me that's enough. And that's all you can do. All you can do is give your best. And again, like I said, I know that I will be doing that. So just wanted to give you guys a brief update on where I currently am at in my life. And so you can also follow along in my prep journey. If you have any questions, please reach out to me through Instagram, or you can send me an email, whatever, because I always love hearing about your life as well. So now that you know this current season of mine, let's jump into 3 life lessons you need to apply to your life today to gain fortitude and improve your skill set. Bodybuilding has taught me so many valuable skills and so many life lessons that I use from a physical standpoint, but I also use from a mental standpoint. The first one that comes to mind is the act of self-discipline. Being self-disciplined means you are able to make yourself do things that you know you should do even when you don't want to. And I think this is such a major problem in the world today. For example, you say you want to eat healthier and you need to lose 20 pounds, but instead of practicing healthy habits and exercising regularly, you make excuses on why you can't go to the gym and you stop at McDonald's on the way to work because maybe it's just convenient for you, right? I mean, you say you're tired. You say you don't sleep enough. But instead of going to bed at a decent hour so you can feel refreshed when you wake up to your 6:30 a.m. alarm, what do? You stay out all night drinking, or you stay on your social media scrolling for hours and hours. Then you look at your clock and it's 1 in the morning and you have to get up in 5 hours. And what do you do this for? You know, what is it really for? Just to hit that snooze button in the morning or feel like a piece of shit when you roll out of bed, you know? You do these things because it's not that you don't know what to do, but you lack the self-discipline, right? You lack the self-discipline in knowing what is going to make you better. I want to talk briefly about my personal experience with just the concept of self-discipline. So if you guys follow my podcast again, you kind of know a little bit of insight on me and what kind of person I am. I will say self-discipline, it's not really something that I've struggled with. If anything, I'm too hard on myself. Like, I will punish myself. If my workout wasn't good enough, you know, I'm going to make sure that the next day I go in the gym, I kill my legs. I do every exercise, you know, for example, things like that. If I mess up on my meal plan, I'm beating myself up about it, right? I'm very self-disciplined. I'm very self-disciplined when it comes to my work, my relationships, the things that I need to do to know make me better. I have so many struggles. Believe me, I am not perfect at all. Far from it, but that is one, I would say, gift that God has given me, is just that self-discipline. It's something that I've learned. But I will say, what's made me really be more self-disciplined over the last couple of years, although that was never a huge struggle of mine, this has definitely gotten better for me, is just simply the act of bodybuilding. It forces you to be more self-disciplined, and I'll tell you why. So if you guys aren't familiar with bodybuilding, it's such an interesting sport. I mean, I'm so passionate about it. I love what I do, but it's hard. You know, it's very, very difficult. You are choosing a specific period of time. Normally, a prep is anywhere from, I would say, 12 to 20 weeks where you're dieting extremely hard. You're staying extremely regimented with your routine. You're eating pretty much the same thing every single day, but just less and less amounts of that. You are pushing yourself every single day in the gym. You are doing a crazy amount of cardio. You are feeling tired. You are feeling hungry. You are feeling moody at times because you're not essentially giving your body all the nutrients that it needs, but you have to sacrifice these things in order to be your best on stage and in order to look a certain type of way. So no matter how bad you don't want to get up at 5 a.m. to do an hour of cardio before you even start your busy work day, you choose to do it every morning because you know it will make you better in the long run. Your goal is to present your absolute best on stage and know without a doubt that you have given your all throughout that entire 20 weeks just for that 20 seconds that the judges are going to see you on stage. I mean, you do the hour of cardio because you're disciplined, right? You're not going to reach your goal if you don't wake up at the crack of dawn and hop on that treadmill. You know, another example, as I talked about, is the nutrition does become very hard. Maybe you have a birthday party that you want to go to and the birthday party is at your favorite restaurant. Well, you're not going to eat anything from that restaurant. You're either going to not eat or you're going to bring your meal prep with you at the time. That's probably just a little bit of lettuce and a little bit of salmon, maybe some ground chicken because you can't even eat salmon because you don't need the extra fat. And that's going to be hard because you're going to be hungry as well. You're going to be sitting there and you're going to be starving, but you're still going to choose not to eat. Although everyone around you is eating cake and goodies and pizza and whatever, you're going to be sitting there eating your lettuce and your grilled chicken breast. But you have to be okay with that and you have to know I choose to do this. And again, why do I choose to do this? Because I know it's going to make me better. And just on a side note, if you do struggle with self-discipline, because that's such a big problem, again, that a lot of people have, and I understand it, I actually just released an episode titled Feeling Stuck and Unmotivated. You need to hear this. Check it out and learn more about how to develop a mindset of self-discipline. But moving forward, you may ask, well, how does the act of self-discipline apply to my daily life? Let me tell you guys, being self-disciplined applies to almost everything. Life has its good moments for sure, and I'm a huge believer in doing what you love and enjoying life. However, life is full of tasks that are challenging. It's full of things that we don't necessarily want to do, but we know we need to do because they help us achieve our goals and they make us better. Mastering the skill of self-discipline can help you be a better parent, a better friend, a better student, a better athlete, a better CEO, employee, and just person in general. So remember, think about the things you need to do. You know you need to do them, and what's holding you back isn't the fact that you're unsure of what to do. It's the fact that you're not willing to get up and do the things that you know have to be done. Lesson number two that bodybuilding has taught me is patience. Okay, and you've heard the saying, patience is a virtue, right? This means waiting calmly is a good trait to have. And I feel like, again, in today's society, this can be a major issue. I mean, we can have something on Amazon that we want to order. We can go to our Amazon basket. We can click buy. It's going to be there within 24 to 48 hours, right? Maybe we want to get healthy, but we give up after just 3 weeks, right? Or maybe we even use certain drugs that make us skinnier, or maybe we do certain surgeries, we get a BBL because we don't feel like doing a lot of hip thrusts and progressively overloading the weight every single week, right? We could just be eating healthy, lifting weights, and doing cardio on a regular basis, but instead we don't see results in the snap of our fingers. We don't see results immediately, so we stop. We choose to take the easier alternative instead of being patient and putting in the work. Although I was very self-disciplined from a young age, I was not always patient. And this is something that I still struggle with today. I'll give you guys a backstory. So I'm pretty impatient. Okay. Again, I'm working on it. I've definitely gotten better. But I remember even when I lived back home in Alabama, I mean, just Miami itself has taught me to work on my patience along with bodybuilding because you're waiting on everything there. Traffic is bad. You know, people are late. But anyways, besides the point, I remember when I lived back home in Alabama, my family would tell me that I was anal. They'd always be like, why are you so anal? And I would hate that word, but I was, you know. And I remember about certain things, like, for example, say we had planned to leave the house at 6 p.m. It would be 6:05. They weren't ready. Of course, I was ready 15 minutes early, and I was pissed because it was 5 minutes after. And now I just kind of think about, like, we all have life circumstances that come up. You should be timely. You should respect other people's time. But, you know, if someone's 5 minutes late, for the most part, like, cut them some grace if it's something reasonable, right? While patience is still something I have to practice, I definitely have learned to be more patient, more understanding, and just change this negative trait about myself. So, you know, in short, bodybuilding has helped me do this. Bodybuilding has taught me patience. I mean, think about this. I first started my journey in 2021 with competing, and it's 2024 now, and I'm still, you know, 3 years later just getting started. I'm nowhere near my peak. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. I'm still fighting for different placings. You know, I'm still fighting to get that pro card that I really want. I'm still fighting to get my name out there. I'm still fighting to meet more people within the sport and really get the judges to notice me because the sport is so important to me. It's something I'm very passionate about. So although I've been doing this for 3 years, that may seem like a long time to some. It may seem like a short time to some. But when you're in the process of constantly showing up and training hard and doing cardio and eating right every single day, that is hard. But I choose to keep going every single day. I'm patient more within the process. I know that I'm not going to be able to see results immediately. I know that it's going to take me years to build muscle, that I have to have the density that's comparing to these top pros. I know it's important that it's going to take me time to be able to see results in my physique. I'm not going to start dieting for 2 weeks and expect to see six-pack abs. I know that I'm going to be competing and showing up show after show after show and investing my time and my money and my, you know, hardships, making sacrifices to get to my goal. And it may not even pay off anytime soon. You know, I sure hope that it will, but I've learned to be patient. I've learned that no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, I'm going to stick with what I know is my ultimate goal and that I know is going to lead me somewhere. I just encourage you guys to do that too. You know, if you have a goal that you want to achieve, don't think that you're going to get to it overnight. No one is an overnight success. People say it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. Stay in your own lane, stay patient, use patience as a virtue, practice it, and just keep moving forward. Another example that comes to mind isn't my personal experience, obviously, but it would be from the Bible. So Noah, if you're familiar with the Bible, Noah spent 120 years building an ark that he would live on with his family and countless animals. He lived with the uncertainty what the post-ark life would look like, but he still waited on the Lord to give him dry land and an opportunity to start something new, right? That's crazy, all right? Talk about patience. I mean, this man was waiting, building an ark for over 100 years, and y'all can't even wait 15 minutes for your Uber driver to pull up. I mean, think about that. So how is patience vital? How is it important? What does it mean in the real world? By embracing patience, we gain the clarity and the wisdom needed to make smart choices that align with our values and our goals. This leads to better decision-making and reduces the chances of regretting impulse actions, right? Things that are impulsive. Being patient allows you to overcome challenges, and life is full of challenges, right? Life is full of setbacks. Life is full of circumstances that you may not expect, but choosing to remain positive and to remain patient throughout those times will make you better. The third and final lesson that bodybuilding has taught me is that failure is actually my friend. Me and failure, we got a good bond. Shit, I would date failure if I could. Think about your life. Has there ever been an idea that maybe you've had, a goal that you've had, something you felt passionate about and you wanted to pursue it, but you didn't because you were too afraid of failing? Research shows that one of the top fears among Americans is failure. And I know because I've been there. My personal experience with failure, just like patience, has been not so good. growing up, I've been afraid to fail. I guess I've always been a risk taker, yes, but there's been many times where I've been afraid to fail. And when I did fail, I didn't see it as a good thing. I saw it as a bad thing. I beat myself up on it. I thought, man, I'm not going to do this again because I really suck at this. But now I've really learned to change my perspective on that and see failure as a growth opportunity. Bodybuilding has taught me this. Bodybuilding has taught me to stop being afraid of failure. So the first thing will be that comes to mind just with exercising. When you're in the gym, you're exercising really hard. And when you're at a level that I am, again, not to say I'm at a super high level, but I am better than I was when I first started competing, and I'm getting better and better and really getting closer towards where I want to be competing at the professional level. So, you know, when you're in the gym and you're doing specific exercises, you're taking some of those movements to technical muscle failure, which means you're doing an exercise and you are so tired, your muscle is so fatigued that you physically, not mentally, you physically are unable to perform another rep of that specific movement with good form. I mean, I can think about a time even last week, I'm at elevation on the hack squat and I'm loading this thing up, like I'm feeling strong, I have a couple plates on there, I'm doing the hack squats, I'm going down, I'm hitting my slow negatives on this exercise, and then I just get stuck at the bottom. I just stop, I can't come up, I'm trying, but I'm literally stuck at that bottom hole at the bottom. If you guys lift, you know, because you've been there. And elevation, the gym I train at, it's a bodybuilding style gym. There's a lot of pros there. There's a lot of high level athletes. There's a lot of really insane people there. And like, I'm trying to be my best when I'm there. You feel me? And like, knowing that I'm failing on that specific exercise, I don't really care. You know, I failed because it was hard and my muscle couldn't get it up. So what did I do? I dropped the weight and I continued the set, you know? So that it's good to push to failure sometimes in life. And this applies to exercising, but we'll talk about how it applies to personal life as well. Another thing is the posing aspect side of things. When I first started posing, I mean, I was terrible. I go back and watch videos. I'm like swinging my arms all over the place. I'm like shaking my butt when I'm trying to sway my hips. I'm like hitting a squat in my back pose. Like it just makes no sense. And now I've learned, okay, I need to keep my arms by my side. I need to make sure my hips and shoulders are squared to the judges. I need to make sure that I'm able to hit my back pose correctly with just a slight bend in my knee and my shoulders are not pulled back together, right? I'm showing my rear delts and I'm opening my lats and I'm showing, again, the muscles that the judges need to see, and I'm showing my glute ham tie in, whatever. So, and that's learning that has, of course, helped me be a better poser, but also helped me do what I do now, which is posing coaching. And I'm able to apply the tips that I've learned and learn from my past failures for my own clients. And that has been super helpful from a personal standpoint, but also from a business perspective. Now, not only is this a physical standpoint, of course, but it goes to the bigger picture as well with failure in bodybuilding, like losing shows. I mean, I've done, you know, I can't say off the top of my head how many shows I've done at this point, but I usually do 2 or 3 per year, and I've been competing 3 years, so it kind of tells you there. I've definitely won a lot of shows, a lot of the national qualifiers. I have won, actually, not to brag, but I think I've won, yeah, I've won all the national qualifiers. Let's go, yeah. That I have done, but once I get to the national level, I've had a lot of different placings. I mean, I've got second callouts, I've got first callouts, I've placed 5th, I've placed 6th, in times where I really thought I might have placed a little bit higher, but I didn't. So when I first, you know, didn't get necessarily the placing I wanted, I was really upset about it. I looked at it again as, oh my gosh, I failed. How could I sit there and call myself a failure, just speaking, you know, to myself, when I literally could not have done anything more to present my absolute best on stage? You know, just because I didn't get first place doesn't make me a loser. Now, yes, I want to get first place. I'm very competitive. And again, we know my aspirations for reaching that pro level and competing and learning and growing. But just because I don't get it on the first, second, or third try doesn't mean I can't get on the 4th, 6th, 7th, or however long it takes, right? So you have to see failure as an opportunity. Okay. So it just shows a bigger picture. Don't be afraid to lose. And this relates to everyday life because many people are afraid to fail. They're afraid to push their boundaries in the gym or maybe even just in their field of work. So this is going to limit you from reaching your fitness goals, your career goals, your lifestyle goals. Truthfully, the more frequently you reach failure, the wider your horizons get. You grow more, you learn more, you shift your perspective from seeing failure as a loss, but seeing failure as an opportunity. Don't be afraid to fail. And this is probably the best piece of advice that I've ever received. Think about it. Don't be afraid to fail. Let me give this advice back to you. You will probably surprise yourself on what you can achieve once you switch your mindset. So stop for a second and ask yourself, are you self-disciplined? Would you describe yourself as being patient? Are you a patient person? Do you see failure as a loss? Or do you see it as an opportunity? These three skills that we spoke about, self-discipline, patience, and failure, they affect your everyday life. And I can say from personal experience that becoming proficient in these areas will make you happier, will make you stronger, and will make you a healthier person, mentally and physically. And I just want to hype up bodybuilding a little bit more. I mean, it's taught me so much. If you are long in the sport, if you're at the amateur level, if you've been competing a long time, or if you're wanting to hop into a competition prep, as long as you have the right team behind your back, the right coach, the right support system, you know what to do, I really encourage you to start one because it's a really cool sport. Not only do you look crazy, but the way that you feel, the what things that you learn about yourself, it teaches you so much, and it's why I coach, it's why I do what I do today, and it's why, although it does suck at times, all things you love suck at times, right? It's hard. I still continue to show up every day, and I still am such a big advocate of the sport, and I still like to be the best representative of the sport of bodybuilding that I can, because it's helped me out so much in my life in learning these valuable skills that apply to everything that I do. And also, I just encourage you listeners to follow my prep journey. As we spoke about that big announcement, now that I am starting prep, by the time you listen to that, I will have started. I have a lot of body fat to lose. I have a lot of knowledge to gain and a lot of practice to do and training lifts and cardio sessions to do. But I encourage you guys to follow me along on my journey and remember to keep me accountable in the ways that I need. And I will keep you accountable and encourage you in the ways that you need. I just want to thank you guys so much for listening, so much for supporting if you do, so much for encouraging if you do. It means the world to me, seriously. It means, gosh, just the absolute world to me. You know, please rate and review the podcast if you can, or share it with a friend. These rate and reviews, of course, help me get my name out there and help the podcast grow, but also they help me know what I should be speaking to you about. They give me insight on what you want to hear and how I can help you more, which is what I love to do, just help other people and inspire others as best as I can. And if you are interested in working with me one-on-one for coaching, that would be amazing. I'd love to help you reach your fitness and health goals. Please reach out to me through Instagram. You can send me a message or you can visit my website. It's kinsleymeeks.com. Fill out an application, send it to me to get started, and I will send you an email to respond back. Before we end this episode, I want to play a voice note from one of my most frequent listeners, I would say. Actually, since there's a little bit of a change in scenery, a change in perspective, again, I'm back home in Alabama. We're going to have our first live guest on the podcast. My favorite guest, my beautiful mom. You guys need to love your mothers out there. Mom, let me just say, because I know you're listening, because you're so supportive, you are beautiful, you are smart, you are creative, you are loving, you are so kind. You inspire me in so many ways, and I just can't even put into words how grateful I am for you. Any way I can help you, you know I'm down. So go ahead and hop on here, Mom, ask your question, and we'll see how I can help.
Hey, sweets. We're thrilled to have you home for Easter weekend. I struggle on leg day just because it's too hard. No, not really, but seriously, you know, I do have some trouble with knee pain. So when I'm in the gym, it's hard for me to determine when I just need to be tougher and work through the pain and when I actually need to stop a set. So I just wanted some advice for that. And also, I wanted to let you know that the Patrick step that you showed me is really helping my knees. But what are some other movements that I could do to strengthen my knees? And most importantly, just also wanted to give you a shout out for being such a life changer for me and all of your clients. And you just really are the best. Love you.
It is so cute. My mom always calls me Sweets. So hello, Sweets. Thank you so much for your question, as always. I'm happy to help. I'm so grateful that I get to work with you. When, just for a backstory, so you guys know, when I lived back home, I trained my mom 3 times a week. It was such a blessing that I didn't realize at the time. But now, since we're so far away, she works with me on my online digital platform. She loves it. She's so consistent with her training, and we're kind of nailing her on her nutrition, but she's getting better with that as well. So Mom, let me answer your question. You do a really good job with your training, and of course, you know, Knee pain is something I see pretty commonly, I would say, especially as you get a little bit older, or maybe you had an injury, or maybe you're someone who has a past, you know, experience of doing a lot of HIIT training, or maybe a lot of running, which can be really harsh on the tendons and the joint. And that's what you do, Mom, right? You're an avid runner. You like to run. It can be a little bit harder, you know, pressure on the joints, things like that. So, and then also you've had knee pain for several years, and I know it's something that we just want to strengthen. So as we have in your training program, so I'm going to actually answer that second question first, and then we'll go back to the first question that you asked. So strengthening the knees, you want to make sure that you are strengthening the muscles in which surround the knee. So that would be your quadriceps and that would be your hamstrings, right? So the Patrick step is a really good exercise, yes, because it basically can help increase ligament and tendon strength. A lot of people say that it helps with their knee pain. I am a very, very big advocate for that exercise. It's also unilateral, which means single leg, which a lot of times if you have an injury, those single leg movements can be really beneficial for healing that. But other exercises that you could definitely try would be exercises like seated hamstring curls, lying hamstring curls, even squat, just regular squat variations are really good as well. You can also go into even leg extensions to strengthen the quads, several different exercises, even lunges, you know, things like that. Some of them you may have to modify. I definitely would stick away from like the HIIT training when you can, for the most part, for your knees. I'm not going to go sit there and tell you to do jump squats, right? But sticking to those, you know, good strength movements that again are strengthening the tissue that surrounds the knee itself. And then I like the first question you asked as well, and this is something a lot of people struggle with. So you need to understand, when you're exercising, it's not going to be comfortable. It's never comfortable because you are pushing your muscles, you are stimulating your muscles in a very challenging way. It's not easy to take a, you know, 135-pound barbell and squat it up and down on your back 20 times, right? But you do it anyways because you know you want to build strength in your legs to get stronger and look better. So the thing is, and I've learned this over time, if you have a specific injury, say you're doing an exercise, Mom, say the exercise is a goblet squat. You have a dumbbell, you have it right up at your chest, and you're squatting up and down with it. When you are performing the exercise, if you only feel your knees, you're doing that exercise and your knee pain is so bad that you don't even feel where the exercise is targeting. You don't feel your hamstring, your glutes, your quads. You only feel your knees. It's probably not a good exercise for you. But I will say, since you are trying to strengthen the knees, think about, you know, physical therapy, for example. If you have a knee injury and they're having you do, you know, extensions on your knee, they're having you do band work, they're having you do isometrics, which are just static hold strengthening the muscle, it's going to hurt a little bit and you're going to feel your knees, but you're not going to only feel your knees working. You're going to feel other things as well. You're going to feel your glutes, your hamstrings, and your quads activated. So I think that's a really, really good indication. And I guess with time too, you just kind of learn what exercises work well and what don't. You have to modify certain things based off of the injuries you have or based off of the limitations that you may have. And I would say too, just making sure that you're choosing a weight that works well for you, making sure that your technique is on point. If you're performing an exercise and it's just too heavy or your technique is really failing, that may give you some pain in some other areas or pain in your knees that are just unnecessary. So try decreasing the weight, really focusing on your techniques. Feel the actual joint working and getting stronger, but it shouldn't be, oh my gosh, every time I squat down, this is the worst amount of pain that I've ever felt in my life. Because at that point, I think that it's just going to make it worse. And I'll give you one more specific example, Mom, from one of my injuries I've had. So a couple years ago, I actually fractured my hip really, really bad. I almost had to get hip replacement surgery. Hate this time of my life. I was on crutches for 6 months. Couldn't do anything. Couldn't even stretch. But of course, me knowing myself, I didn't know what exact injury was wrong with my hip, but I mean, it was hurting pretty bad thinking I had literally fractured it. But the next day I was out there, I was at cross country practice and I was running our warm up laps around the track, literally with a broken, half broken hip. You know, I was running laps around the track. I probably did like 2 laps. And at that point, I mean, I was trying to run with good technique, but I was so limited that I was limping, you know what I mean? I mean, my hip was broken. So I was limping and I was huffing and puffing. And I mean, I was in a lot of pain. I could barely even stand it. And my coach, you know, saw me and he pulled me over to the side and he's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, coach, my hip is just really hurting. And he's like, all right, stop. Like, you're not going to do this to yourself. It's only going to make it worse. And that was an indication for me. All right, like, this is pain. This is not my muscles hurting. This is not, I need to push through this. This is, okay, my bone is hurting. You know, you can't push through that or it's never going to heal. So be smart about your training and choose exercises that work well for your body. And shout out to you, mom, that I'll give back. Thank you for being the best mom ever. I'm so blessed that the Lord has given me the best mom ever. And speaking of blessings, that's what I want to wish to you guys leading into the week of April. Wishing you the utmost blessings, a life full of good mental health, good physical health. And if you guys have any questions for me, or again, if I can help you out in any way from a physical standpoint or from a mental standpoint, please, again, feel free to reach out to me via Instagram or shoot me an email, KinsleyMeeksFit@gmail.com. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, and really looking forward to speaking with you next Thursday and updating you on my prep. Have an amazing rest of your week, and we will talk soon.